Genesis 21, 2. Genesis 21, 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So last week I spoke about Father Abraham. I want to just share some lessons from the life of Isaac. God bless you. Please be seated. We're talking about family matters and relational dynamics and life lessons from Bible heroes. The Bible is perhaps more transparent than sometimes we are, and just kind of putting it out there, you know, whatever it is, written down. These things the Bible said are written for our learning, written for our in samples or examples, so we would learn not to make the same mistakes, right? And the Bible would tell us that's the purpose of many of the stories of the Old Testament, and you can't just summarize it in one idea. Many, many things about the Bible are written, but for our learning, the Bible said. So we're doing a little bit of a biographical study tonight, like we did last week, on the life of Isaac. Isaac is one of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's sandwiched between his famous father, Father Abraham, and Jacob. And there's a lot written about Abraham, a lot written about Isaac, about 11 chapters, about 11 chapters about Isaac, and something I didn't think I would have time for, but there's not a lot of quotations, you know, where Isaac said, or he said, and it was referring to something Isaac said. He was a man of relatively few words in the 11 chapters that cover his life. So he's not as prominent as his father, not as prominent as his son. He's that middle patriarch. But together, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are mentioned 23 times in the Old Testament, 7 times in the New Testament together. Sometimes Jacob is referred to in that triad of names, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Well, God, to Isaac, reconfirmed the covenant that he had made with Abraham, saying that he would make his descendants as numerous as the stars of the heaven, and he would bless all nations of the earth through him. Now, I'm trying to be a little abbreviated. We're going to pray in just a little while. So I'll give you some chapters that you may jot down for all the note takers, but I won't display as many scriptures as I have because it's a lot. I'll move through them and give you some highlights of some passages of scripture. In Genesis 26 is where the Lord reconfirms to Isaac the promises that he had made to his father Abraham. And the generations of Isaac kind of run from Genesis 25 through Genesis 35. That's where you'll find most of Isaac's story. Now, we're going to talk about the birth of Isaac, but to really get the family context, we need to first talk about his older half-brother, whose name was Ishmael. Now, all the Bible readers, all the seasoned saints know these stories, but I learned to not make assumptions and to talk about this as if a person had never heard this before. So even if you have, someone has not. Abraham is married to Sarah. She is barren, cannot have children at all. So Sarah has this great idea of being able to have a son born into their family. She makes a suggestion in Genesis 16 that Abraham take her Egyptian handmaid named Hagar and have a child by her. She makes this suggestion, and Abram, there's still Sarai and Abram at this point. Later, Abram becomes Abraham, Sarai becomes Sarah, and I'll usually use Abraham and Sarah. And the Bible said that Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Listen, and so Sarah gives Abraham Hagar, and there's a child that is born of this union between Abraham and Hagar, and the baby is named Ishmael. Now, the descendants of Ishmael would be part of the Arab nations, but not all of them. And you may know that this was a problem. It was a problem immediately in their family. it's been a problem ever since. And some decisions, you know, are not the best decisions. You bought the wrong car or you bought the wrong tires. But when you do something like this, there are pretty long-term consequences. And sometimes when we're trying to help people, guide them in life, whether you're a parent or a pastor or a friend, you realize that the decisions that someone is making have unintended consequences, lifelong and maybe eternal consequences. And I've learned, this is not in this story, that when you quit listening to the people you've always listened to, you're making a bad decision. When you will not listen to the people whose voices have always been true in your life and they love you and they don't have a vested interest, they care about you, and all of a sudden they're out of touch and don't know what they're talking about, you are making a mistake. Now, I could have said probably making a mistake, but I'm just going to go with you are making a mistake. Abraham listens to Sarah. Later he'll listen to her, and God, you know, kind of confirms what Sarah says. Ishmael is born. And later, this is not going very well, and God reconfirms that Isaac is going to be born. But Abraham says that, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. He loved this boy, and he's hoping that Ishmael can be the heir. That was the plan, right? Sarah's idea. Abraham agrees. Ishmael's born. It looks like it's going to go well. In Genesis 17, 20, on the screens, and as for Ishmael, the Lord said, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now, here's an interesting thing just to think about, that God created the world, and he cares about everybody, and he works in the nations of the earth. Even he used Babylon to discipline Israel. So even though Ishmael's descendants are not godly, they're not saved, God says, I'm going to do something in Ishmael. He's going to be a great people. So God works through them, but the covenant is not through Ishmael. The covenant will be through Isaac. So that's the way Ishmael comes about. Galatians 4 looks back on this and says that when Ishmael was born, he's not the son of promise, Isaac is, and he that was born after the flesh. So when you hear the Bible talking about born after the flesh, born of the flesh, Ishmael's born of a human ingenuity, born not by the will of God, something that was designed by man, not approved of, not instituted by God, born of the flesh. And Paul in Galatians 4 said he persecuted him that was born of the Spirit, and it's still like that today. If people of the flesh persecute people of the Spirit, and when you get in the flesh and you get a little carnal, you might pick on people in the Spirit, and you might even denigrate spiritual things. That's Ishmael to Isaac, and there's descendants and descendants. Now, I'm going to jump way ahead on purpose and then come back to Isaac. But Abraham lived, this is Father Abraham, he lived to be 175 years old. Isaac would have been about 75 when his dad died. And when he died, he left everything he had to Isaac. Now, he had given some gifts to Ishmael, but put him and Hagar out. So they have something, but they're really on their own. He leaves everything to Isaac, nothing to Ishmael. But when Abraham dies, and I'm not making Ishmael a hero, but it's amazing that the Bible said that Ishmael, this is Genesis 25 and 9, that Ishmael and Isaac, this really lists Isaac first, Isaac and Ishmael buried him beside Sarah, who was Isaac's mother. Isaac's mother. So here's an amazing thing, that for all the animosity for Ishmael and Hagar being sent away, kind of kicked out of the family, at the end of Abraham's life, Ishmael shows some decency. And really, Isaac shows some decency. Now, I have this intentionally in my notes as an application point. Through the years, I've ministered at many funerals. Well, I don't know, well over 100, maybe close to 200 funerals. And it's very interesting in the family dynamics at a funeral. Sometimes a family member who feels guilty about the relationship that they have with the person that's deceased has the hardest time. Maybe they didn't make peace. They were estranged. There was grief. But then in this case, you've got Abraham, who's a father, who puts Ishmael out. But when Abraham dies, he comes back to honor his father. Abraham will be buried in the cave of Machpelah next to Sarah. Sarah is not Ishmael's mother, but he participates in this. And the point I want to make is that there's sometimes in life when you lay everything aside and show some human decency and don't do the selfish thing and don't use that as a time to create more tension and stress than there already is. Pretty amazing little insight. So you can choose to kind of lay down the sword and lay down the strife and take the high road, honor a deceased loved one. And it's not just at the death of a person, but there's other times. It might be a wedding. It might be a family gathering that you just drop it all and say, why don't we just leave that aside and let's kind of find some common ground here. And for Isaac and Ishmael, it was a common ground of a common father. So back to Isaac. You know, Isaac's a miracle baby. Abraham is 100. Sarah is 90. When God tells Abram that he's going to have a son, he laughs. In fact, Genesis 17:17 says, he fell on his face and laughed. And he says, you know, shall a child be born to him that's 100 and Sarah that's 90? And that's when he says, oh God, let Ishmael live before you. You know, this sounds like too much trouble. I don't want to be 100 raising a baby or something like that. And then God tells him that you're going to bear a son. I'm going to have my covenant with him. And when the time came, Genesis 18, they're old and stricken with years. And when Sarah hears that she's going to have a son, she also laughs within herself and she gets in trouble for it. I don't know why Abraham did not get in trouble for it when he fell on his face and laughed. But Sarah gets rebuked, and the angel of the Lord says, you laughed. And Sarah says, I didn't laugh. So, oh, yes, you did laugh. You can go ask the Lord when you get to heaven why Abram did not get in trouble, and she did. Genesis 21 on the screens in 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah. This is our text, as he said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Now, it seems a little redundant, but this is the promised son. This is the son that Sarah bore. It was at a set time. It was in the fullness of time, you could say, in the Old Testament. God was in all of this. And there's some redundancy in that passage to make sure we get the point that this was God's plan, not Ishmael. In the book of Joshua 24, verse 3, the Bible said that God gave Isaac to Abraham. And then Isaac, on his eighth day, is circumcised. But prior to that, this is the sign of the Old Testament covenant, but prior to his birth, Abraham, Ishmael, who was 13 at the time, and all of the servants in Abraham's household were also circumcised in Genesis 17, but for Isaac, this was special because now he is in that promised line. When Isaac was weaned, which would not be the same in those days as we would wean a child at the same age, the Bible talks about what Abraham did. Genesis 21:5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that he was weaned. Now, if you've got your Bible open, this will not be on the screen, but here is Ishmael. He's still around. He's still in the household. He hasn't been kicked out yet. And Ishmael, Abraham's son, must have been sitting back watching his dad go to this huge party for his half-brother, little spoiled brat, newly weaned Isaac. And the Bible says, and I should have put this on the screen, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. So you kind of get the idea. Ishmael's feelings are hurt, right? He didn't have that for himself. He's not blessed. Pretty soon he's going to be put out, and he's mocking. And when Sarah saw that, she said to Abraham, he's got to go. His mom and him, they've got to go. Now, Abraham does not like this at all. But God speaks to Abraham, Genesis 21, and says, cast out this bondwoman, when Sarah said that. And the thing was very grievous. This is Genesis 21, 11. So Abraham, you know, this isn't just, this isn't cold-blooded neglect, or it's very difficult for him to do this because of his son. This is his flesh and blood. But God said to Abraham, don't let it be grievous because of the lad and the bondwoman. Listen to Sarah's voice. Now, the first time, he should not have listened to Sarah's voice. But this time, he's supposed to listen to Sarah's voice. But the difference is, the first time, I don't find Abraham praying about what Sarah suggested. I don't find God speaking to Abraham to tell him this is a great idea. But now he does hear from God. And that's the difference in the plans we make with our lives. Have you prayed about this? Is this something of the flesh that you just dreamed up? Is this something God is in? Or is this something you're going to regret for a long time because it seemed like a great idea at the time? God's delayed. He's taking his sweet time. Things are not working out as he said they would. So you just take this into your own hands. And this is kind of the story of Isaac. Pretty amazing little insights. The Bible's an amazing book, right? So in Genesis 21, they get bread and water and gave it to Hagar, put it on her shoulder, and sent them away. There's an amazing story about Hagar and Ishmael, how God saw her destitution and intervened for her and took care of her. God cared for them and preserved his promise to Ishmael that he had made to Abraham, that he would live and he would father 12 princes and he would be a great nation. So now we're going to fast forward to Isaac is a lad. And this is a long story that I will collapse into a few statements tonight. And this is when God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, and offer him on one of the mountains that I will show you, one of the mountains of Moriah. So Abraham gets his son and his servants, and they go to this mountain. He leaves the servants there, and he and the lad, he said, will go yonder and worship, not sacrifice, worship, and will come again. That's the faith of Abraham. He doesn't know how this is going to work out. God promises him this son, Ishmael's out of the picture. Now he's supposed to kill the promise. And so he obeys God. And what I want to point out, because this is about Isaac, not so much about Abraham. Isaac, this boy, who is a boy and becomes a man, a few words. And he said, you know, Dad, we're missing something here. I've got the wood. You put it on my back. I carried the wood for my own sacrifice. We got fire. See that? You know, there's a knife there too. But, you know, we're missing one thing. Where's the lamb? And Abraham, you know, speaks those prophetic words that God will provide. The Lord will see to it. We say Jehovah Jireh as the Lord will provide. And we sing about that. And some people wonder if we're speaking in tongues when we say Jehovah Jireh and we sing about that on Sundays. But God will provide. And there's the miracle of the ram caught in the thicket. But this is about Isaac. Here is this boy. We don't know his age. He's a lad. So maybe he's 10 or 12. We don't know. He's strong enough to carry enough wood to burn a sacrifice on. So he's not three. And he submits to this. His dad ties him up. He doesn't run away. This is a very obedient person when you talk about Isaac, this young man. And of course, God provides. You can fast forward in his life, and there's 11 chapters. You may want to reread it between now and next Wednesday night, then I hope to talk about the life of Jacob. In Genesis 23, Sarah is 127 years old, and so now Isaac's mom dies. And Abraham will mourn for her and bury her. Sarah is now dead, and Isaac is in his late 30s. He may be close to 40 or 40, but maybe not quite that. And after she dies, Abraham sends one of his servants, said, I don't want Isaac to marry one of these Canaanitish women. Go back to my home, go back to Mesopotamia, go back to Nahor, my family, and find a wife for my son. Now, all of the good parents in this house are thinking, this is the best plan ever in the history of the world, that our kids are not smart enough to pick their spouses. So we're going to have to get a seasoned servant to go back and pick from a godly family a wife for our sons, right? So something like that. I don't know how well that would work out. Abraham's old, stricken in age. He's blessed in all things. He gets his oldest servant, sends him back. And once again, I'll make this a shorter story. He gets there and he prays for God to send them the right person that would offer water. And all of a sudden, here comes Rebekah. He barely gets the words out of his mouth. And I spoke about this in maybe July of 2022 in a baby dedication about what will your children know about serving. And so Rebekah comes out there. And, you know, he asks for water. She gives him water. And then she says, while we're here, why don't I help water your camels? Now, he has 10 camels. And I went back and stole my notes from before because I had researched this a pretty good bit. But Rebekah is not a lazy person. Camels drink a lot of water. They can drink like 30 to 50 gallons in less than 15 minutes. You better fill up to a pump that's moving pretty fast. And I don't know how long it had been since the last fill up, but she gets water for 10 camels and doesn't complain. And that servant is knowing this is the woman. You know, she came and she's offered this. And so when they get back home, this is Genesis 24 now. Isaac, the Bible said, as the camels are coming and Rebekah and the servant, she sees this guy in the field, and she asked the servant, who is that over there? And the servant says, that's my master, that's Isaac. And the Bible said he is out in the field, and he's meditating. Now, it doesn't say praying, Genesis 24:63, but I'm just giving you some snapshots of the life of Isaac. Here is a son of promise, a blessed person. He's an obedient child, you know, to his dad as a lad. And now he knows the servant is gone, doesn't know, you know, there was no text messaging. He doesn't know when the servant's going to get back. So he's just out there probably what he does every day, just praying, talking to God, meditating, thinking about life. He's 40 years old, not married. His mom has died not that long ago. He's grieving her loss. The life has been pretty stressful. You've got Ishmael and Hagar and fairly complicated for him. And when Rebekah sees him and realizes the servant said, that's my master, she jumps off the camel and runs to him. And it's love at first sight. And they're instantly married. There's no good ceremony, no beautiful flowers. I mean, he takes her into his mother's tent and she becomes his wife. But the Bible is specific to say that when Rebekah comes and they are married, that he was comforted over the loss of his mother. That's just a little insight about how much Isaac loved his mom, who had just recently passed away, 40 years of age. And then the Bible says that now Rebekah is barren. I mean, we can't find a woman here that is just going to be able to have children. Seems like God loves to work with human impossibility. So he always gets the glory. And maybe 20 years, they don't have a child. Now, in the meantime, after Sarah dies, Abraham is now probably 140 years old. Remember, he's 100 when Isaac is born. Isaac is 40 years old when he gets married. And according to Genesis 24, that's when Rebekah steps into the scene. In Genesis 25 and 1, Abraham gets married again. He gets married to Keturah. And he has 6 children by her between his 140th birthday and his 175th birthday when he dies. So Abraham, you know, when God healed him, he healed him. He has a whole nother family. Because the Bible said that he couldn't have children at 100. Genesis 25, this is the family. This is about insights from Isaac's family. When they grow up, Abraham sends them away. Genesis 25, the sons of the concubines, he gives them gifts, and he sends them away from Isaac to the east country, and he's preserving this area for the future of Isaac. All these other children will not really be around Isaac. And then in the storyline, I mentioned this earlier on purpose about Ishmael and Isaac burying their father, but in the flow chronologically, Genesis 25 is when Abraham dies at 175 years of age, gathered to his people, Genesis 25 and 9, Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. Now back to Isaac and Rebekah. Remember, she can't have a child. They've been married maybe 20 years. But then Isaac is praying, and he's entreated of the Lord. But I mean, it wasn't like 3 prayers in 5 days. This is a long time. He's been praying for Rebekah to have a son. And finally, in Isaiah 25, she conceives. Excuse me, not Isaiah. Genesis 25, she conceives. And then the Lord tells him, like 60 years old or so, Isaac's going to have babies. And the Lord tells Rebekah, oh, by the way, she's feeling something. And like, wow, I'm really having trouble with this pregnancy. And the Lord says to her, the children struggled together in her. And she said, why am I so sick? And the Lord said, oh, you've got 2 nations in your womb. You've got twins. And they're going to be separated when they're born. The older will serve the younger. And we know that they're wrestling even before they're born. And Esau is born first, Jacob second, but he's the heel grabber, the supplanter as Esau is born. Jacob is hanging on to him. Genesis 25, 27 on the screens. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. So they are very, very different and not alike at all. I want to share a few insights along the way. The Bible said that Isaac was very successful. Genesis 26, he sowed and he reaped 100-fold. He waxed great. He grew very great. He had flocks and herds and servants, and he dug the wells of his fathers, and the ones that the Philistines had stopped up, he redug them and opened them back up. And God blessed Isaac so that he was a very successful businessman. He's not a writer, not a prophet, not a preacher. He's a patriarch. And then you got this thing that happens here that Isaac really likes his older son Esau. And he makes a very bad family mistake that he shows favoritism to his oldest son. I think you could feel it, sense it, know it. Esau's the oldest. And he's going to get the birthright. Esau, Jacob, if I give the wrong names. Isaac's the dad, Jacob and Esau. And Genesis 25, 28, and Isaac loved Esau. And he loved his son because he loved his venison. Now, that's probably not the best reason to show favoritism to your son, although I really like venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So just leave that scripture on the screen a minute. Here is the chemistry for family problems. All right? When you show favoritism. Now, Jacob will do the same thing, but we'll get to him next week, to Joseph and to Benjamin. But this is a bad idea. You may feel a kinship to one of your children for whatever reason. Hopefully it's more significant than they've got good venison that they cook, you know. But that's what the Bible says. And then we know that there's this conflict, and this is where I'm going to go fast because it's next week. Esau sells his birthright to Jacob. Jacob steals the blessing from his brother by pretending to be him. And most of the words that are recorded by Isaac, the dad, is in the blessings that he gives to Jacob, thinking it's Esau. And then later to Esau, who comes in and says, Dad, don't you have anything left for me? Genesis 35, 28. In the days of Isaac were 180 years, 80 years, and gave it the ghost and died. But look at Genesis 35, 29. You know, Jacob's wrestled with the angel. He's reconciled to his brother Esau. That's all in the story next week. But just like Ishmael and Isaac, these two boys get together and they show decency and they bury their father together. Now, let me give you a few quick insights. It's really time to pray. I want to mention just several things. Decisions, first of all. I've already covered this, but I'm recapping. Decisions have consequences, and you need to be prayerful, seek godly counsel. Several years ago, I taught two Bible studies on making wise decisions, and I gave 10 principles. That's somewhere buried in the archives, and I'll repeat that one of these days. But bad decisions have bad consequences. And then Abraham and Sarah are not perfect parents, but God still uses them and blesses them. And Isaac is not a perfect parent, but God still blesses him. I want to point out that Isaac's submission and obedience attracted the blessings of God, that as a boy, he was obedient, and then he's prayerful. We see him meditating. And then, this is deeper into the story, but when Abraham was in a famine, he went to Egypt. Jacob's in a famine, they go to Egypt. But when Isaac is in a famine, his tendency is to do what his dad did, go to Egypt in a famine. But God said, no, you need to, that's not what I want you to do. So just because it was the thing your parents did, I'm not talking about living for God or doctrine, but a decision that God guided Abraham to do, the Lord had a different direction for Isaac that was to stay in the land, and there's a lot in that story. And I want to encourage you to learn lessons from the past and not repeat the mistakes of the past. And I've already said it, but don't show favoritism. When you have flaws, you can repent, and God can help you get through them. And then I talked about these brothers burying their dad. Make peace. And then ultimately, at the end of your life, finish well. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaac is blessed of God. He's a patriarch. With his flaws, imperfections, with things he could have done better, God's hand was on his life, and God's hand is on us. And if we will walk with him and make wise decisions, we will see blessings in our lives.